redemption. For perpetrators of abuse and assault in the Me Too movement, what should redemption look like? And is it even possible?
I don't think there will be redemption as long as the men involved are being judged by other men.
It depends. Those who have the conscience to recognize the wrongdoing of their ways actually have a potential to be a powerful voice of change.
Would I ever want them back in a position of power? Absolutely not.
I'm Sarah Gonzalez, one of the hosts of NPR's Planet Money podcast, and I'm filling in for Tanzina Vega. This is The Takeaway. In the last few weeks, we've seen some prominent figures accused of sexual assault or other forms of abuse coming forward, looking to make a comeback, to come back to their former lives, their careers, their former positions of influence. In some cases, offering apologies, in others, explanations. The Takeaway's own former host, John Hockenberry, is one example. He wrote a lengthy essay published in Harper's Magazine, basically saying his career has been unfairly taken away from him. He seemed to criticize his alleged victims while arguing that he deserves a second chance. Meanwhile, other prominent men accused of sexual harassment, comedian Louis C.K., is back on stage. Former Today Show host Matt Lauer says he has a comeback in the works. The list is growing. And every one of these public resurfacings leaves us wondering, what does it take to come back from a public fall? A fall that's based on accusations of assault or abuse. And should the public give these people a second chance at all? It's a fitting question today. It's Yom Kippur, the Jewish Day of Atonement, centered around repentance.
Hopefully over the last month or more, Jews have been taking stock of who they've been over the last year and making right any wrongs that they need to make between themselves and the people in their lives.
That's Rabbi Danya Ruttenberg, a rabbi in residence at Avodah and author of Nurture the Wow.
Today is the day to take all of that repentance work, both between ourselves and others and between ourselves and the divine, and to offer it up and to ask for absolution and atonement.
I asked her what we can learn from her faith about what it means to make right what you've done wrong.
The Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, only works in our interpersonal sins, in our interpersonal mistakes, if we've already made it right with the other person. First of all, you need to acknowledge the harm that you've done, ideally publicly, and then you need to do some repair work, some amends work. What can you do to right the harm that has been done to the person that you harmed? Are you paying somebody's medical bill? Is there some sort of reparations? Is there volunteer work you can do? Something like that. And then you need to do a lot of deep internal, hard transformational work to become the kind of person who does not do that harm anymore. And somewhere in there, there's an apology, a sincere apology to the person that you've harmed, but it must be coupled with the work of transformation, of becoming the kind of person who is able to make different choices the next time.
Wow. So that sounds like a process that could take a while. From your perspective, have any of the high-profile men accused of sexual assault or harassment attempted to follow some of these steps?
No.
No.
I have been looking. I have been waiting. I've had all signals open to try to see somebody doing what we would consider sincere repentance work. And I haven't really seen it. There have been a lot of public statements, pretty much all of which have fallen short of even the first step of this repentance process, right? All of these statements are like, I'm so sorry to have hurt my fans. I feel so ashamed. The impact has been on my family, and not taking full responsibility for the harm they caused and centering the victims. There's been really sort of half-hearted first steps, and I haven't seen anybody who's done anything that looks like it might be a second step.
And what do you make of their attempts to reestablish their status? I mean, that is essentially why they are asking the public to forgive them, I guess, in a sense. And I'm thinking here about like Louis C.K. trying to return to stand-up and Matt Lauer telling fans that he would be back soon.
Right. First of all, the only person that can forgive a perpetrator is the victim. So the idea that we have in American culture that the person who's done the harm to a specific person can then go ask the public at large for forgiveness and that that's going to somehow fix their harm doesn't work in Judaism. We have really clear ideas about how this works, and the general public is not in a position to absolve this person. It's the victim and God are the only two actors in this scenario. And yeah, the idea that people are running right back to a paycheck, to fame, to glory, to attention, and to put themselves right in the same situations that caused them to make it so easy to commit harm in the first place raises all of my red flags.
Speaking of victims, I want to talk to you about John Hockenberry. He is the former host of The Takeaway, who was accused of sexual and racial harassment by multiple women who worked on this program, as well at least one contributor to the show. He published an essay last week defending himself. And in that essay, he wrote, quote, "Only one of my accusers reached out or responded to my heartfelt queries. She had very useful and meaningful things to say, for which I am grateful." He seems to be upset with his victims for not responding to him. And what are your thoughts on that?
I think he needs to ask some questions about who has what kind of obligations in this scenario. In Judaism, anyway, the obligations and the work is really on the perpetrator. Victims don't necessarily owe the perpetrator anything. They've already suffered. That's enough. If someone who's a victim is willing to engage with a perpetrator and to help them understand and to do some emotional labor and to engage with them, that's very generous of them. But at least in my tradition, they're not obligated to.
I'm curious what you think about how law plays into religion here. Like, if you were to admit to your Jewish leaders that you sexually assaulted someone, but you never faced the criminal consequences, I think it's harder for the public to forgive you, right?
Again, I'm much less interested in public forgiveness, but certainly in my tradition, the repentance process requires the person who has done harm to accept the full consequences of their actions. And so part of the repentance process can involve the victim choosing to forgive their perpetrator, but it can also, in the exact same scenario, involve the perpetrator going to jail because that's a consequence of their actions. Or it could involve a perpetrator losing their career and their status and their sense of public adulation. And being able to accept that with humility is part of how we understand what repentance is.
Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh has also been accused of sexual assault, an incident that Christine Blasey Ford, the woman accusing him, says took place decades ago when they were both teenagers. Kavanaugh is fully denying the accusation, but it's also led to a debate about whether people should be held accountable for things that they did as teenagers. Does Jewish law have anything to say about that?
You're a person and you have an action. And the fact that in American law, there's some sort of magical thing that happens at 18 to change your status doesn't change the fact that you as a human being did something harmful a year before that. So I personally don't think the age matters at all. What matters is whether or not the person has done the work of repentance. And for Kavanaugh to be denying these allegations certainly gives us no indication that that's at all in process. You know, if nothing else, we would need to, from a Jewish lens, slow this down and get some facts about what happened. But the fact that some time went away and you didn't never said sorry and you never acknowledged the wrong that you did and never tried to do anything to repair it, time is not a magical fixer.
And then moving forward, Rabbi, I'm not sure that we can expect many men to go through all of these steps toward atonement that you mentioned earlier. But what are some preliminary steps that you'd like to see in terms of how society responds to incidents of sexual misconduct?
I would like for us all as a society to start taking victims seriously. What I really love about my tradition is that it centers the victim and their needs, and that there is emphasis on the fact that the perpetrator can understand that the harm they have done is serious and they can understand the impact they've had and that they can change and grow. But it's not automatic. And there's just a lot of work that has to happen.
And if there are men out there listening who really do want to atone for acts of sexual abuse or harassment, is there anything that you want to say to them?
Thank you. Please, I'm very grateful if you're willing to really look within. Start not by going to the victim. There are questions about re-traumatizing victims and how you can do that in a way that's going to be appropriate. Start with therapy. Start with owning your actions to the people in your lives. Start with asking for help. Start with owning who you are so that the people in your life can help you to become someone who is better. And then start to look around and figure out what kinds of amends and repair might be necessary.
Rabbi Danya Ruttenberg is a rabbi in residence at Avodah and author of Nurture the Wow. Rabbi, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
We're also hearing from lots of you about whether redemption is possible for people guilty of sexual misconduct. And if so, what it should look like.
Hi, this is Bethany in Frisco, Texas. What do we mean by redemption? I don't think they need to be publicly flogged. I think it's fine for them to lead a quiet life out of the spotlight with whomever in their life chooses to forgive them. But I don't think they have any right to public forgiveness or to their old careers and level of respect. Too many women have been crushed and kept out of the spotlight by these mostly men, and they didn't get any kind of statute of limitations on their suffering or career setbacks. Why should their attackers get one for their crimes?
Hi, this is Hassan. I'm from St. Louis, Missouri. Seems to me everyone's done something they're not proud of. This goes for those caught up in the Me Too movement as well. I would assert we need to reach a consensus as a society on what past actions can be forgiven and what cannot be forgiven.
My name is Frances Arujo from Providence, Rhode Island, and here are the things I think a man needs to do to get back into people's good graces. Admit wrongdoing. Apologize, contribute to a woman-oriented charity, and never, never, never do what they did again.
This is Byron. I'm calling from Gary, Indiana. First of all, they need to own up to what they did and apologize for it. People just want to hear that you're sorry for what you did. They want to hear you apologize. They want to hear you accept the consequences of your actions.
This is Julie Bailey from the Bronx, and I'm sure that there is a road to redemption for those indicted, but it would be nice if these men waited a little bit longer than it takes to birth a baby before pushing themselves back out on us. Give us a minute to figure it out.
Thanks for giving us your thoughts. You can also join the conversation about redemption and Me Too on our Facebook page or tweet us at The Takeaway.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.